It's Thursday, July 8th. I'm Gideon Resnick.
And I'm Travell Anderson in for Akilah Hughes.
And this is What a Day, the news podcast. It's not afraid to talk about how we are all spending 80% of our days with our wet shirts clinging to our backs.
Yes, I am utterly disgusted, and somebody needs to turn the sun off.
Yeah, that's the easiest solution for climate change as well, so I think we all win. On today's show, Texas State Republicans start a special session today for a do-over on some controversial bills that they were not able to pass. Plus, we'll have headlines. But first, the latest with political turmoil in Haiti.
These are quote-unquote mercenaries. We're still trying to figure out who they were, who hired them, what's the motive behind all of this. And yes, the president was quote-unquote mortally wounded, but he is dead.
That's Miami Herald reporter Jacqueline Charles speaking to CBS about Haiti's president Jovenel Moïse, who was assassinated in his home early Wednesday morning.
Yeah, wow. So this is developing, but what are the details that we need to know about right now?
According to reports, a squad of roughly 40 to 50 gun people raided the private residence of President Moïse overnight, killing him and critically wounding his wife. The current interim prime minister, Claude Joseph, is calling for an international investigation after authorities have declared a, quote, state of siege in the country and closed its international airport. According to Beauchit Edmund, the Haitian ambassador to the United States, the attack was carried out by foreign mercenaries and professional killers who masqueraded as agents of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. As you can imagine, the DEA confirmed that the gun people were not representatives of the organization, and the country's communications secretary said yesterday that police arrested multiple suspects behind the assassination, but have not yet offered any more details as of our recording. And in a statement, U.S. President Joe Biden condemned the killing and said, quote, "The United States offers condolences to the people of Haiti, and we stand ready to assist as we continue to work for a safe and secure Haiti."
Yeah, so a lot going on, to say the least. And before this, Moïse had been president for 4 years, but his time in office had been rocked by quite a bit of conflict.
Very much so. So he was elected to a 5-year presidential term in 2016. But due to contentions over election results, which hits a little too close to home, he did not actually take office until a year later. It is for that reason that President Moïse believed he was entitled to another year in power. Obviously, the opposition in Haiti rejected that claim. And last February, when opponents say his term was actually supposed to end, they named an interim president. Moïse, however, called it a coup attempt and arrested 23 people involved. Since, there's been a number of protests for that, which are in addition to prior demonstrations by upset citizens who've taken to the streets in recent years over a number of other concerns. The country's spiraling inflation rate, the lack of safe drinking water, ongoing environmental degradation, and increased food scarcity. Not to mention allegations of corruption and ongoing questions from citizens as to the whereabouts of millions of dollars in aid the country received following the 2010 earthquake, from which they have yet to fully rebound. Meanwhile, gang violence has been on the rise, displacing many Haitians from the capital of Port-au-Prince. There is so much here, not to mention the country's history as it relates to various conflicts. We'll link to a story in our show notes so you can get all that context if you please.
Yeah, and with Moïse's death, that presumably leaves a power vacuum of sorts. So what happens next year?
Inquiring minds definitely would like to know, but right now, so much is unclear and up in the air. Interim Prime Minister Claude Joseph was supposed to step down on Monday. Given the current circumstances, it's believed that he may stay in the role in hopes of maintaining some sort of stability. There obviously is also fear that this current news might just make way for more gang violence throughout the country. For now, the U.S. has helped the nation by shuttling its first lady, Martine Moïse, to Miami for treatment. On a call between top State Department officials and congressional lawmakers, the idea to appoint a special envoy to Haiti to monitor the political situation was floated by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. That's the news from Haiti. But Gideon, for this next story, we're going to Texas.
We love going. So today, lawmakers in Texas are returning for a special legislative session. The state's Republican Governor Greg Abbott announced this recent list of agenda items that the state did not pass during the regular session, which just ended. But a lot of those items are basically tailor-made to appeal to conservatives and maybe even perhaps boost Abbott's credentials for a possible presidential run down the road.
I'm exhausted already and can probably guess some of the kinds of things we're hinting at here. But let's zero in on one of the biggest to watch, which is voting rights.
Yeah. So, I mean, this has been a long-running project for Texas Republicans, arguably Republicans across the entire country. But in this case, as a quick refresher, in May, Republicans in the Texas state legislature tried to pass a bill called SB 7. It failed to advance back then, and it would have outlawed a number of things. It was very, very restrictive. For example, it would have banned drive-through voting and 24-hour voting, which were used in Harris County last year. Read Houston, read more and more Democratic voters. The bill would have also limited Sunday early voting, which was a move seen by many as targeting predominantly Black voters participating in what is often called souls to the polls. SB 7 would have also made it easier for a judge to overturn an election if there were allegations of voter fraud with less evidence, and would have made it a felony for public officials to send absentee ballot applications unsolicited. So, yikes. I'm saying would have in this context because there was this walkout that happened from Texas Democrats that basically killed the bill at the time. Here's State Representative Chris Turner on the steps of the Texas Capitol from that night in May.
They were prepared to cut us off and try to silence us. We were not going to let them do that. And that's why Democrats used the last tool available to us. We denied them the quorum that they need to pass this bill, and we killed that bill.
So after Democrats stopped it that night, Republicans are just going ahead and hitting replay?
Mm-hmm. That seems to be the case. So we know that at least for now, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said that two of the most controversial aspects are going to be gone when this law comes back in this special session. One is that delaying of the start time of Sunday early voting, and the other is the lowering of standards for overturning an election based on claims of fraud. These people are really evolving, you know, good for them. But some Democrats in the Texas House told CBS News that while they had been able to work with Republicans to take out some of these worst provisions that we're talking about, they didn't rule out another walkout in the future. So we'll see how the bill ends up taking shape.
And this effort to pass voting restrictions is happening as Republican legislators across the country have passed or are considering similar measures, with a conservative majority Supreme Court making matters even worse.
Mm-hmm. It's a great situation all around. So as we talked about on an episode last week, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld this set of Arizona voting restrictions. And one of the major concerns now is that the courts will not step in should states like Texas end up being successful in their efforts at passing similar laws. Already, the Justice Department has filed suit against Georgia over a restrictive voting law there that is based on its violation of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. But that is also what was at issue in the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. And at times, the DOJ has said that it's actually up to Congress to pass federal voting protections, and we know that just hasn't happened yet.
These people are annoying, okay? So in Texas, voting rights is just one of 11 topics that they'll cover in this special session, which could last up to 30 days. Unsurprisingly, targeting critical race theory is on the agenda, but what else?
A bevy of wonderful items. So a bill that tried to make it harder for people to get out of jail on bond, one that prohibits trans students in the state from being on sports teams that align with their gender identity, another that would seek to protect Texans against social media, quote unquote, censorship. I am using the hardest hand quotations I've ever used in my life. And notably, when we look at this, not there is anything to fix the state's electrical grid, which failed dramatically in a winter storm earlier this year, killing many Texans and leaving millions without power. We're going to post a link to the full list in our show notes and return to some of these issues soon. But that is the latest for now. It's Thursday, Wad Squad, and for today's Temp Check, we are talking about a public health advisory you can dance to. It is the song Vax That Thang Up, which came out yesterday and sees the rapper Juvenile remixing his own 1999 classic Back That Thang Up to incorporate a pro-vaccine message.
Profile picture looking tight, Chad. Nice, Chad. Got your bio reading right, Chad. Precise, Chad. But before you find a day, Chad, you gotta wait, Chad. Gotta go back to Nate, Chad. Get it straight, Chad. Girl, you look good. Won't you vax that thing up? You's a handsome young brother. Won't you vax that thing up? Dating in real life, you need to vax that thing up. Feeling freaky all night, you need to vax that thing up.
Girl, you all right, my life is forever changed. The song also features a verse from Manny Fresh, who is on the original track, as well as Mia X from No Limit. It was put together by BLK, a dating app from Match Group, specifically targeted at young black singles. So, Travell, my question for you, have you heard this song before just now, and do you believe it is our first ever pro-vaccine banger?
I won't tell you what I was doing this morning when I came across this track, but it forever changed my day. It lifted my spirits. It is the bona fide first ever pro-vaccine banger, and it is the song of the summer as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I really think that Juvenile at this point is up there with the president in terms of, you know, making impact on potential vaccines. Like, this is, if we were, you know, hovering around like 60, 65% or whatever, it's going to be like 90 by tomorrow.
I mean, just wonder if you're like on the dance floor twerking it out and you hear this song come on and for whatever reason you haven't gotten your vaccine, I think the subliminal messages would get you to go out and do what needs to be done.
Yeah, I think that this is the answer that we've all been looking for. Thank you to him for his service. And just like that, we've checked our temps. Stay safe. Play this song if you're going to go get vaccinated. And we'll be back after some ads.
If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
Over 2 weeks after the tragic collapse of a condo building in South Florida, officials in Surfside are calling off the search for survivors. Teams involved were told to transition to recovery efforts. The death toll currently stands at 54 after more bodies were found in the rubble yesterday. 86 people are still unaccounted for. An official at the Miami-Dade Fire Rescue told families of the victims that based on the facts, there was a zero chance of survival. Workers at the wreck site were luckily spared from Tropical Storm Elsa as it moved up the coast yesterday. Earlier this week, legal experts in Florida created a safety task force to review oversight laws of the state's condominium development industry to make sure a tragedy like this doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Darnella Frazier, the teen who recorded George Floyd's murder, which contributed to a massive uprising against police brutality and racism, posted on Facebook that her uncle was killed in a car crash as a result of a Minneapolis police car chase. Frazier's uncle was in his car on the way to visit his girlfriend when he was struck by police pursuing a driver linked to multiple robberies and carjackings. Frazier wrote, quote, "Another black man lost his life in the hands of the police," and questioned why police were even going on a high-speed chase on a residential road. The Minnesota State Patrol is currently investigating whether the police car activated its emergency lights and siren, according to department policy, and will turn over its findings to the county attorney for review.
Staying on our bad Olympics news beat, Tokyo is expected to declare a state of emergency to contain coronavirus infections lasting from next week till late August. This period includes the entirety of the Games. According to Reuters, Japan's government is considering an all-out ban on all spectators at the Olympics. This means we might have to watch a fully applause-free opening ceremony, which we can compensate for by clapping extra hard at home. Tokyo has been experiencing a drastic surge in COVID-19 cases, with the city reporting a two-month high of 920 new cases just yesterday. Only 15% of people in Japan have been fully vaccinated, which is way too large a gap to be closed by a new translation of Vax That Thang Up. Despite all this, and against advice from medical experts, the International Olympic Committee is still pushing ahead with its plans.
I think it still should be translated and spread across the world either way. The boat that challenged our assumptions that all boats move, the Ever Given, is back in open water again after spending more than 3 months held by Egyptian officials in the Suez Canal. The release comes after a settlement was reached between the Suez Canal Authority and the Japanese shipping company that owns the vessel. The Suez Canal Authority initially demanded $900 million for losses and damages that were incurred in the 6 days the Ever Given blocked the Suez Canal back in March, though it's not known what was ultimately agreed upon. Either way, it's safe to say this was one of 2021's most expensive fender benders so far. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I have to assume. The Ever Given still is carrying around $600 million worth of goods, so it's on to its final destination of Rotterdam in the Netherlands. If you are an iceberg, large whale, Bermuda Triangle type mystery spot, please move out of its way because it has been through enough already.
Yes, in the words of another wonderful rapper, Christopher Ludacris Bridges, move, get out the way.
Exactly right. Those are the headlines. That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, don't impede the Ever Given, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just instructions on how to vax that thing up like me, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Travell Anderson.
I'm Gideon Resnick.
And thank you, Juvenile,
for your service. I will give you a medal.
We deeply appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. We do.
What a Day is a production of Crooked Media.
It's recorded and mixed by Charlotte Landis.
Sonia Tun and Jazzy Marine are our associate producers.
Our head writer is John Milstein, and our executive producers are Leo Duran, Akilah Hughes, and me.
Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolette Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now.
Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a five-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst of the worst, then they have absolute immunity, and they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.